Genesis chapter 3. We're commencing to read there at the opening verse. Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the garden, in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. We'll end our reading there tonight. We'll just bow momentarily in prayer before we come to consider this passage of God's word together tonight, and seek the Lord's blessing even upon the preaching of his precious word. Our gracious Father, we praise thee and thank thee even for this time afforded to us, this other gospel opportunity to open thy word, to read it without fear, an opportunity to expound thy word, to consider thy truth together. And Lord, we just pray that even now as we come to preach thy word, that you would close us in with thyself. You would empty me of sin and self, Pour out thy spirit upon me, I pray of thee. Oh Lord, we pray even of those that are gathered in, that you would deliver us from distracting thoughts. How easy it is at this stage on the Sabbath day evening to start thinking about the week that lies ahead, and even subconsciously start to plan tomorrow. Oh Lord, just close us in for this little time. Help us each one to center our thoughts upon Thee. Those that are lost, focus them in even to the sound of Thy voice tonight. Rejoice that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Oh, Father, impress the urgency upon the lost tonight. Apply Thy Word to each and every heart gathered in this building. Give me clarity of thought and of speech, I pray of Thee. Hide me far behind the cross. Let none be seen, save Jesus and Jesus only. Amen. Amen. Genesis 3 and 9 tonight is our text. Three words there at the end of the verse. Where art thou? The scene is set before us in the Garden of Eden. This particular passage is best known to us as referring to the fall of man, and it is here where man, in the greatest act of treason, sinned against his Creator God and marred his fellowship with Him. It is of utmost importance that we understand that we are in the condition that we are found here today as a result. Sickness, sorrow, death are all results of the fall. In the opening two chapters of this book of Genesis, we learn of creation of the heaven and the earth. The Garden of Eden, the creation of the beasts of the fields, the fowl of the air. We learn of the creation of man and God's command then to man. Man's dominion over that which God had created. We learn how God the Creator caused man then to fall into that deep sleep, and that God is the master surgeon. He removed that rib from of his side and created woman. That preacher who said, "What I have put together, let no man tear asunder." Establishing the institution of marriage, even as we referenced this morning in our message. After this, he then tells the man and woman to be fruitful and to multiply. The world back then was in paradise. It was so beautiful. It was so perfect. You know, our little finite minds tonight, we can't even begin to comprehend it. You might be a keen gardener here, or you might even be a farmer, or you might go out and you have things well prepared, and things are nice and tidy in your garden, in your fields, whatever. And it looks well, and you're satisfied with it. It's still nothing to what it was in Eden back then, pre the fall. The world was paradise. Everything was perfect in these first two chapters in Genesis. However, when we arrive here into chapter 3, we encounter the tempter, the devil, the serpent, the enemy of God, that roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We come face to face with the devastation he brings as a result of the fall of man. We see and hear and feel the heartbreak of God and witness His love, His grace and His mercy. In this verse 9 of chapter 3, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Where are you?" This important question asked by God is with regard to Adam's condition and not his position. It is important that we note today that right from the outset that God knew exactly where Adam was.
He knew exactly where he was, both positionally and conditionally. And friend, tonight, you might fool the preacher, and you might fool friends around you, and you might fool a whole lot of people, or you think you are, but God knows where you are tonight. He knows we are, both positionally and conditionally. He is omniscient, all-knowing. He rules and reigns over us with that all-seeing eye. Boys and girls, tonight, you hide from mommy and daddy some wee thing you've done. You think mommy doesn't know or that. Maybe they do know, maybe they don't. But the Lord sees all. He has that all-seeing eye. When we read this question, it appears that God is just speaking to Adam. But prophetically, he's speaking to all mankind in the entire human race. He's speaking to you tonight. He's speaking to me. Romans 5 and 12. Wherefore, as by one man, namely Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. That's you and me. And therefore tonight, as Adam was our representative, this question comes to both you and to me tonight. Where art thou? Where art thou? It is a question with endless meaning. Consider with me God's question to you. God's question to you. We have already established that God didn't ask Adam, where art thou, because he didn't know. So why then did he ask this question? Why did he bother asking this question? If he knew all, and he does, why did he ask? God desired that he would recognize where he was. And friend, tonight, so too does he of you. This question comes to you tonight in this meeting house in Mourne, or perhaps online, or in the car park, wherever it is that you're listening in. God speaks to you. Where art thou? He's challenging you tonight. As we contemplate this question tonight, see first of all with me, God speaks with a stirring voice. He speaks with a stirring voice. God's voice was familiar to Adam. He and Eve had been in constant, continual communion there with God in the garden. And yet we read in verse 8 on this occasion, they heard the voice of the Lord, and rather than chat away, they hid. They hid. Their eyes had been opened, verse 7. The question is asked of them, where art thou? With that stirring voice, the Lord speaks to them to stir them about their condition. God seeks to awaken their conscience to the state of their condition. It's a wake-up call. Is that what you require here tonight and more? A wake-up call. God here calls to Adam, to all mankind, where art thou? God asked this question with a stirring voice to awaken man's conscience. Man was naked, no longer covered by the Shekinah glory of God. He now had the spirit of fear. He knew not of it before. But yet fear was governing his life instead of that of the sweetness of the voice of God. Oh, it was lovely to hear the Lord speaking. Before this all happened, maybe you're here tonight and you're backslidden. And you fear to open your very Bible tonight because you know that the Lord speaks and you've heard the voice of God. And you know that it's real. You know that salvation is true. You know that you're saved deep down, but you don't want to hear. You're in your sin. The devil has blinded your eyes. And the fellowship you had with the Lord is lost. It's marred. Oh, you once heard his voice and it was sweet to you. But yet tonight, it brings fear. Verse 10, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. Some would have you to believe you can get saved just when you want. Just say a wee prayer. Just commit your life to the Lord. But man, woman and young person tonight, if you're ever going to be saved, it's only through the drawing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man can come to me, he said, except God the Father which sent me draw him. And I will raise him up on the last day.
The speaking voice of God brings fear and dread to the heart of the sinner. Adam is now in sin, and such would receive the wrath of God upon him. He is no longer good, but he dwelleth there in sin. His will is to perform that which is evil. He's warring against the law of his mind and that of being brought captive to the law of sin which is in his members. His very imagination is becoming evil. Oh, wretched man that he is. Then God comes. He draws alongside and he asks him that question with a stirring voice as he asks you tonight. Where art thou? God seeks to awaken their conscience to the state of their condition, to convince, to convict them of their sin, to lead them to the confession of it. But look here what happens in verse 11 and 12. Cast your eyes upon it. Adam doesn't confess. He doesn't confess his sin. Rather, he just blames Eve. And in doing so, accuses God. The dangerous position to be in. And I trust tonight, even if you are far away from God, you don't accuse him of being the cause of your problem or why you are away from him. Because can I remind you tonight that God doesn't walk away from any man until he first walks away from God. John 16 and 8 says, "And when he has come, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And when God called on to Adam and to mankind, he said, "Where art thou?" He comforted them by letting them know that it is not the wrath of God, but the love of God, the concern of God, the comfort of God. This question opened up the wounds of Adam. This broken relationship convincing him that he was lost. This conviction of sin is a supernatural work. That supernatural work of the Spirit. You see, this isn't just some easy believism. You know, it's not just feeling bad. It's not just because the preacher, as it were, is laying it on hot and heavy. That's not conviction of sin. Troubling of the very soul. Surely today, it is the desire of this preacher that you take heed to the question which the Lord asks you tonight. That you understand your condition before a thrice holy God. Nonetheless, we must concede that man cannot cause an anxious thought. It's a work of God, this conviction. And whenever Christ speaks, regenerating power, it causes you to run to him, to flee to him. Conviction of sin is a work of God upon the heart of man. This work is needed. Proverbs 23 and 7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." God questions with that stirring voice, "Where art thou?" Causing Adam to think what he had done, what condition he was found in. And it was a question that produced a feeling of dreadfulness, a feeling of nothingness. Causing him to understand and to comprehend the dishonor that he had committed against God. Exposing his soul to the very wrath of God. Where art thou? Where art thou tonight? God's question to you, God speaks with a stirring voice, but see also he speaks with a sorrowing voice. You see, the language used in this text all points to the sorrow and the heartbreak that God had for Adam. Adam, what have you done? What have you done? The fellowship was fragrant. We walked together in the garden in the cool of the day. The relationship was real. It was alive. It was relevant. It was wonderful. Eve had been enticed by the devil. They both embarked upon the evil, sinned and ate the forbidden fruit. And now they were exposed. Understood their nakedness. They were naked, poor, and most miserable. Is that how you see yourself tonight? Is the Lord speaking to you? Look with me at the first question mentioned in verse 1 of this chapter 3. It's asked of the devil to Eve. to cast doubt upon God's word. The devil then distorts the word by saying, you can eat of every tree. He cast doubt, first of all, hath God said? And then he distorts the word of God by saying, you can't eat of every tree. He then goes further in the denial of the word of God in verse 4. He shall not die. Don't pass any remarks on that. He shall not die. And you know, men and women tonight and young people, we think sometimes of this serpent. Or we think of the devil and we just would recognize him. If they come in, he would recognize him. The devil, I expect and can tell you, has some wonderful, nice gazes and disguises. Caused Eve to deny the word of God. Ultimately deceived her there in verse, Eve, ye shall be as gods. Is that not what we all want? The devil would come and he'll give you, a young person, all that you want. Older person, he'll give you all that you want. You shall be as gods. Everybody wants to be top dog nowadays. And the devil promises, you shall be as gods. Adam and Eve, remember, they were in paradise. They were dwelling in the presence of God. Yet they were entertaining evil. Tell me, are you in the very presence of God tonight? Yet in your heart you're entertaining evil. Maybe there's young people here tonight and you're brought up in a godly, God-fearing home. Mother and father that pray for you. You hear them at night praying when you're in your bed. Yet you're entertaining the evil. Where are you frequenting? What evil are you partaking of? Who are you sinning with? What are you doing? Oh, it's not me tonight that you need to confess to, but you need to come to Christ. Confess to Him tonight. Oh, the devil will promise you the world. Yet in reality, he's just carrying you along nicely to your conclusion in his disguise as a wonderful guy. Young people today, don't be under any illusion. The devil promises to fulfill all your carnal desires, while cunningly he leads you along to your destruction. God calls you, yet today is merciful. You're here tonight in this gospel service, and God's merciful to you. He's calling out to you tonight with that sorrowful voice. Where art thou? Where art thou? Adam was made in the image of God, yet he sinned against his Creator. Yet in this breathtaking, it is breathtaking rather to think how the Lord spoke to Adam with the sorrowing voice that he felt for Adam. His heart was broken over Adam. Genesis 6 and verse 6. It repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. He was sorrowful. Many would seek to teach that God can neither feel nor suffer. Yet Scripture reveals that God can do anything and everything. He is omnipotent. 2 Peter 3 and 9 reveals to us that the Lord is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have a God who feels the sorrow and the sins of His people. And sinner friend, tonight, God looks upon you and He is sorrowful over your sin. Your sinful ways, your sinful choices, your open rebellion against Him. Christ weeps over thee. As he mourned over Jerusalem, Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicken under her wings, and you would not. Will you not come to Christ this evening? Confessing in the words of the prodigal, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Will you not confess your sin to Christ tonight? We're reminded of the reception that the prodigal received.
Oh, it was wonderful. You think of that little Jewish boy, and he come home and he was stinking. He was in the pigs. And he should never have been there. He had walked away from the Father, and yet he was received. And there's not a mention. Not a mention of the stench of a sin. And you know tonight, don't you waste your time telling me, Simon, I'm going home and I'm going to clean up my ways, and then I'll do, and then I'll get saved. But I tell you, you'll never be saved. And young person tonight, if you're challenged, now is the time to be saved. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Get saved now in the seat where you're sitting. You don't even need to wait to speak to the preacher. Get saved now. That little, how that young man was welcomed home by the Father instead of a great funeral. There was a great feast. He came home from the pig pen, home to the Father, and think of the stench of a sinful life. Yet it's not a mention. He was welcomed home. God is gracious and He's merciful, He's long suffering. Or perhaps you say, oh, you don't know what I'm involved in. So, but I tell you, I don't need to know. You say, oh, God doesn't care for people like me. I remind you in the words of John Bunyan, let not Satan deceive thee by telling thee that God is hard, that God is unkind, that God is unwilling to forgive. Try Him. Try Him. Come to Him just as thou art. And if you need anything else to convince you, listen here to the words as He cries out to Adam. Where art thou? Where art thou? God's question to you, God speaks with a stirring voice. He speaks with a sorrowing voice. But see also, God speaks with a searching voice. He speaks with that searching voice. You see, God hadn't changed. God hadn't changed. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. He is unchangeable, immutable. He doesn't change. And you know, of everything that's gone on around us, even this past year, and all the various views and all the rows there is over it, God is still the same. He says, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. There's changes all around us, variables everywhere. But God doesn't change. And God hadn't changed. He still loved Adam. There was hurt, there was offense about the sin that had been committed. Yet the offer of forgiveness is seen. God desired he would return home. Oh, Adam was lost. And perhaps tonight, as we speak, as this gospel message continues, as we progress through this gospel message, you realize, like Adam, that you are lost. You have never seen it before. It has never dawned on your heart and mind. You've listened to many gospel services. Yet tonight the Lord's speaking to you. You see that you're lost. See, God's calling with this searching voice. Where art thou? To call you back into fellowship with Him, into that relationship with Him. We think of the lighthouse, how it reveals to the ship on their way around all the hazards and all the devastation that there is around and beneath in the sea. To guide them. To guide them along to the path of safety. And so it is of Christ tonight. He seeks to guide you out of darkness into the light of the glorious gospel. Will you not receive Him tonight? Will you not come to Christ tonight? He reminds you, John 14 and 6, as He questions you in that searching voice, to look no further. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. You see, this question, where art thou, it pierced the very heart of Adam. It caused him to stop and to think. Tell me tonight, is it causing you to stop and think? Where art thou? Where art thou? There was self-examination. What have I become? Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Adam realized that everything that he ever needed, God had provided. He had joy unspeakable and full of glory. He didn't know fear. He had been covered with the Shekinah glory of God. He had that relationship with God that was real. He talked with God. And God communed with him. But yet now he was found afraid. Ashamed. In his condition. Adam was lost. Yet we see God cry out to him with that searching voice, "Where art thou?" And you know, God is still asking that question to both you and to me tonight. To all mankind. Where art thou? For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. God gave you everything ever you needed. He has given you health and strength. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. He gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross. For sinners such as you, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He lived that perfect life. He died that perfect death that you might be redeemed. He shed his precious blood. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was spat upon. They plucked the very hairs from off his beard. Yet he was the author, finisher of our faith. Christ, for the joy, endured the cross, despising shame. He died in agony. He became our propitiation, or he appeases, he satisfied the suffering, the full wrath of God in his own body on the tree. That you tonight can have this assurance. It's everlasting life. Therefore I ask you, where art thou? God questions you. God's question to you tonight. He speaks with a stirring voice. He speaks with a sorrowing voice. He speaks with a searching voice. But he speaks with a summoning voice. Summoning voice. This question is posed by God with a summoning voice. Why? Because it demands an answer. It must be responded to. Perhaps there's a thing, a list the length of your arm you're thinking over in your head of what you have to do this week, and there's things that you can do without doing. There's things that are so important. There's things that need attended to. This is one of these things. This is the most important thing. This is spoken with a summoning voice from God because it demands an answer. It must be responded to. And friend, can I remind you before you leave this house tonight, one way or the other, you will respond to this question. Either verbally or by your actions. Perhaps you've received a jury summons. If so, you'll be well aware that it usually concludes with words similar to failure to report for duty. Jury duty is a violation of the law and is punishable by a fine, or you may be held in contempt of court. Or maybe worse still, you have been summoned to attend court for a crime which you have committed. I have been reliably informed that such a letter concludes with the words, "Failure to attend may result in your arrest." You see, men and women tonight and young people, the bottom line is this: a summons must be responded to. You cannot ignore a summons. Adam sought to flee from God, and yet God calls out to him as he does to you tonight. Where art thou? Sinner, tonight God calls you to account. It's not this preacher. It's God. He is holy. He is righteous. He is just. And therefore he must judge sin. Sin cannot and will not go unpunished. The sorrow and suffering spoken of there in the latter part of this chapter 3 in verses 16 to 19 reveal to us God's judgment upon sin presently in this world. It was this judgment upon sin that caused man to be driven from the garden, and ultimately why we all face physical death. Death comes to us all. It is an appointment that none of us will miss. Perhaps you have the reputation of being a late comer. You'll not be late that day.
But the question is, will you be ready to go? For thus thou art, and unto thus shalt thou return, verse 19. Man seeks to return himself to the garden of perfection in Eden. However, he is stricken with inability. And can I remind you tonight, you're powerless, you cannot save yourself. Oh, you may try to tidy up your life, clean things up, change things. And then without Christ, you're wasting your time. We rejoice in this wonderful first promise, gospel promise, the proto-evangel, Genesis 3:15. Rejoice in the person and the work of the Savior. Young man, young woman, older person today, you can be saved. Just right where you sit, even tonight. But it'll only be through His merit, His work upon the cross on Calvary. The prophet Amos hurls the warning. Prepare. Prepare to meet thy God. Here it is before me tonight. How much longer will you put off answering this question? Where art thou? He speaks with that summoning voice. We have noticed the present judgment of sin, but what about the future judgment? How will you respond on that last day when the books are opened, when your life's works are called then to account? Will you not escape for thy life as the angel of the Lord instructed Lot in Genesis 19? Will you not flee to Christ tonight? Will you not seek Him for mercy? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for thou shalt be saved. God's question to you. Where art thou? Only you can answer it. You know, I miss going to the door because there were some fine statements made by some people. And they say, you know, that was a great word this morning, brother. I hope so-and-so was in to hear it. But friend, tonight, this isn't for so-and-so. This question is from God to you. Individually. You individually. Uniquely. An individual question. You have no excuse. If you die in your sin, if you die in the condition tonight in which you are found, you will go to hell. Be of no doubt of that. You cannot blame Adam. You cannot blame Eve. You cannot blame this preacher. You cannot blame God. Why? Because God's question to you tonight is this. Where art thou? Where art thou? He's tenderly asking you the question, as He did of Adam way back then in the garden. Where art thou? Where are you tonight? Therefore, if you die in your sins, you'll go out to a lost eternity. And you will do so without excuse. Amen. We trust the Lord will take His word and write it upon hearts even tonight.